Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's December the 4th. We're in Treasar and Micha. We're starting Perek Hay, Chapter 5. I'll just point out to you from Perek Dalid, before we start Perek Hay, that the first three psukim of Perek Dalid, which had some very famous phrases like Ki mitzion teitzei sor ravar shem Yerushalayim and Lo yisa goy al goy cherev.
A lot of songs.
Yeah, so those three psukim are mentioned almost verbatim in Yeshaya, Perek Beis, Chapter 2, psukim Aleph Beis and Gimel. I'm sorry, psukim Beis, Gimel and Dalid. So they can't say exactly the same thing. That's the Gemara says that would make them into a Navi Sheker Chas V'Shalom. So the two Navim can say the same idea as long as it's not B'Signo Necha. They can say a little bit of a different phrase.
Well, was it which
Perek
Yeshaya?
So Yeshaya, Perek Beis, Sukim Beis, Gimel, Dalid are almost exactly the same as Micha, Perek Dalid, Sukim Aleph Beis, Gimel. Almost exactly the same. Slight differences.
But they speak, the Nevuah comes from Hashem.
They lived at the same time.
Oh.
No, but the Gemara says two Nevuah can't say the same Nevuah.
But that makes it a Navi Sheker. I mean, if they got the Nevuah.
It's a Raya, it's a Navi Sheker. No, Hashem wouldn't do that. It doesn't happen.
But there was no purpose. There was no one purpose of the Nevuah.
I can't, that I can't tell you if that's the reason, but that is the fact. I actually think there's a different reason, but that the fact is the fact. Okay, Perek Hay. V'ata beis lechem efrasa, and you beis lechem to efras, so. It's referring to a person by the name of a place. So who do we know of that came from Beis Lechem? David HaMelech. That's right. So this is a reference to David. Tzoir Lios Balfa Yehuda. You should have been Tzoir. Tzoir means young, but in this context it means lowly. You should have been the lowliest of the leaders of Yehuda, because David comes from Rus, and therefore he should have been of the lowliest. But instead, Mimcha Lietze, from you to me will come out. Meaning from you, there'll be a special person who will come out to me, which is Mashiach. Mashiach will come from you, from David. Lios Moshe b'Yisrael, to be the king of the Jews. Umotzo sav mikedem mime olam, and this his coming forth is already prophesied from long ago that Mashiach will come forth from David HaMelech. Lachain yitneim ad eis yoleida yalada. Therefore, they will be given over, meaning the Jews will be given over into Galus until the time of that the one who gives birth will give birth. Ad eis yoleida yalada. We'll talk about that in a moment. V'yeser echav, and the rest of his brothers, which means the rest of Yehuda, yeshuvun al bnei Yisrael, will return to the Jewish people, which means that there will no longer be a rift between Yehuda and the rest of the Jewish people. The southern kingdom and the northern kingdom will unite as one kingdom under David HaMelech's descendant, under Mashiach. What does it mean, Ades Yoleida Yalada, until the time that the one who gives birth will give birth? So we know that the coming of Mashiach is often compared to a birth. And in fact, the troubles and difficulties that occur prior to Mashiach's arrival are called Chevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach. So there is a comparison. the Gemara tells us that just as with a birth, if a woman, God forbid, gives birth too early, that's very dangerous for the child, and often the child does not survive. But if a woman gives birth at the proper time, then the child is usually healthy and does survive. So too, that when Mashiach, there is a proper time for Mashiach to come. And coming too early is not a good thing. So therefore, it says that Esio Le Dalya Lada, until the time that the woman who gives birth gives birth. That's the amount of time it will be that the Jews would be in Galus. Now that's an undefined time. You would think there should be some reference to 9 months. And we will talk about that in a moment, that there is a reference here to 9 months. Obviously, Galus is much longer than 9 months, but there is a reference to 9 months, which we'll talk about in a moment. Pasuk Gimel, V'amad v'ra'a ba'oz Hashem, and he will stand, meaning Mashiach will come forth, and he will shepherd in the strength of Hashem, meaning he'll shepherd the Jews, Bigon Shem Hashem Alokav, with the grandeur of the name of Hashem is God, V'yashavu, and they will return from Galus, Ki ata yigdal anav se'aretz, for now, their king, David or Mashiach, will be raised up until the heights of the land. V'hayaze shalom, and this will be peace. There will be peace for us. Ashur ki yavo ve'aretzenu, when Ashur, Assyria, will come into our land to attack us, v'chidroch ba'arminosenu, and when he, Ashur, will trample on our buildings, v'hakemonu alav shiva roim, u'shmona nesiche adam, and we will establish against him, against Ashur, 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men, 8 leaders, 7 shepherds, which are also leaders, and 8 princes of men. There will be these 15 people that are mentioned here that will fight against Ashur and all of our enemies. Who are these 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men? We will talk about that in a moment. Virau es eretz Ashur b'cherev, they will trample the land of Ashur with the sword. Ves eretz Nimrod b'psacheha, and the land of Nimrod with its gates, that's Bavel. The land of Nimrod is Bavel. Nimrod was the first king of Bavel way back when, in the time of Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel. And so they will trample them and destroy them. V'hitzil me'ashur, and he will save from Ashur, Kiyavo ve'aretzenu, when he comes into our land, v'chidroch b'gvolenu, and when he tramples on our borders. So this is what will happen in the time of Mashiach, that there will be peace for us, and there will be destruction for these nations that will try to attack us. So what does it mean, back in Pasuk Beis, Ad Eis Yoleda Yalada, the time that the one who gives birth will give birth? So the Gemara says in Meseches Yuma, on Daf Yud Amid Aleph, that's 10a, so the Gemara says as follows. This is one of those Gemaras that you want to just think about and you want to see. It's very tempting to try to work out this Gemara with current events. Mm-hmm. As always, we say that's a waste of time, but it is worth knowing the Gemara. The Gemara says, and you've probably heard references to this, as time has gone on, so now you'll know what the source is and you'll know what the Gemara actually says rather than it being hearsay. So the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli. Asida Romi Shetibo Biad Pras. The Romans will eventually fall in the hands of the Persians, which means Rome will be conquered by Persia. Kal vachomer. So this is a kal vachomer. What we find that the first Beis HaMikdash, which was built by the children of Shem, meaning Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, we built it, and it was destroyed by the Kastim, by the people of Babel. So the Babylonians destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, which had been built by Shlomo HaMelech, and the Kastim, the Babylonians, where do they end up? They eventually were destroyed or defeated or conquered by the Persians. The Persians are the ones who defeated Babel. That would be Daryavesh, the first Daryavesh, conquered Babel under Belshazzar. That's the story of the handwriting on the wall. So the second Beis HaMikdash, which was built by the Persians, that wasn't actually built by the Persians, but it was authorized by the Persians and it was financed by the Persians, by Artaxasta, and it was destroyed by the Romans, all the more so will the Romans fall to the hands of the Persians. If we find that the Babylonians fell in the hands of the Persians, all the more so the Romans should fall in the hands of the Persians, because the Persians built the Beis HaMikdash and the Romans destroyed it. That's the first opinion. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai is the student, one of the primary students of Rabbi Akiva. So that's his opinion. The Gemara then says, Rav tells us that Asida Paras Shatip will be on Romi. The Persians will eventually fall in the hands of the Romans. The reverse. So the Gemara says, how could it be? Why would the builders, that's the Persians, fall in the hands of the destroyers? That's the Romans. You would think it should be the other way around. So he says that that the Persians, because of their behavior, various things that they've done, they deserve to fall in the hands of the Romans. And it is a gzeiras melech. It's a decree from the king, from Hashem, that the builders will fall in the hands of the destroyers. But then the Gemara says, a braisa that says, or I'm sorry, Rav says, Ein ben David ba, Mashiach will not come, Achetivshot Malchus Romi Harasha b'chol ha'olam kulo, until the evil kingdom of Rome will spread over the entire world, Tisha Chadashim, for 9 months. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, L'chinitneim ad eis yoleda yolada, V'yesrech of Yeshuvun Abnei Yisrael. Our Pasuk. That there is a reference to 9 months, that Rome will spread over the entire world for 9 months. Now, we have a few things going on in this Gemara. We are not going to explain this based on current events, as we always say not to do that. But if you want to know where is Persia, so Persia is Iran. Iran is Persia. That's not current events. That is a fact. That is geographically, that is where Persia is. Are they the same people as the Persians? I can't tell you. I don't know. But if you want to know the area of where is Persia, that is Persia. Iran is Persia. Rome, theoretically would be Italy, but we know that the Romans were destroyed long ago. There is no country called Rome unless you count the Vatican. There really is no country called Rome anymore. And it was extremely powerful at one time. but Rome, we know, is Edom. So that's Esav. And we presume that Western man represents Esav. We don't know for sure. That's our presumption. Could be, could not be. But So that's why people today like to talk about Iran and the United States, and the Iran being the Persians, the United States being Edom, and they're clashing, and who's going to beat whom, and we have these Gemaras over here. So all of that, I cannot tell you anything. Lo Navi Ani, Lo Ben Navi Ani, I have no idea. There is no Nevuah today except in children and fools, and therefore I don't recommend someone trying to say Nevuah. So we're not going to even try to go down that road. But it is worthwhile to understand a little bit about this Gemara, although we cannot explain it fully. I don't understand it fully myself, so I can only explain what I know. And let's just repeat what the Gemara says. The Gemara tells us that according to one opinion, and it could be that they're not arguing with each other. It could be that these are just different machinations of the same battle. That, first of all, the Romans will fall in the hand of the Persians. And the Gemara says the reason why that's logical is because if the Babylonians, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, fell in the hands of the Persians, then the Romans, who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, which was built by the Persians, or financed, etc., by the Persians, should certainly fall in the hands of the Persians.
I don't really understand that logic, because if they were able to destroy them, destroy the Beis HaMikdash that they built, then that means that they're stronger than them. So why?
They're saying it's justice. Hashem will bring that about to punish them. The punishment to the Romans is going to be the fall in the hands of the Persians. Then the Gemara says, either a second opinion or a second happening, that the other way around, that the Persians will fall in the hands of the Romans because of the behavior of the Persians, and also that there is a Gzeiras Melech. There's a decree from the king that the builders will fall in the hands of the destroyers, which seems counterintuitive. If justice is to be served, it should be the other way around. And then finally, we have a statement that before Mashiach will not come, Ein Ben David Ba, Mashiach will not come until Rome will spread over the entire world for 9 months. Now, the first point of the Romans falling in the hand of the Persians would be justice being served, because the Romans destroyed, the Persians built, and therefore the Romans deserve to be defeated by the Persians. That's one statement. Another statement, that there is a Gzeiras Melech, there's a decree of the king that the Persians will fall in the hands of the Romans, which doesn't make sense logically, that the builders will fall in the hands of the destroyers. It seems to me a possible understanding of that is that before the third Beis HaMikdash is built, there is not going to be any Persians helping us with the third Beis HaMikdash. Unlike the second Beis HaMikdash, where we needed the assistance of a non-Jewish king and non-Jewish power in the world to authorize the building of the second Beis HaMikdash and to finance the building of the second Beis HaMikdash and to protect us in building the second Beis HaMikdash. All of that was necessary. We did not have the autonomy that we had in the first Beis HaMikdash. In the third Beis HaMikdash, that will not be necessary. It will be built by Hashem. We are going to be autonomous. Hashem will be Melech HaKol HaAretz. There won't be any ambiguity of who's in charge. So it could be that the Gemara is saying that before the third Beis HaMikdash is built, the builders, that's the Persians, will fall in the hands of the destroyers, meaning that the destroyers, those who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, will eliminate all those human beings who otherwise might have been helpers to build the Beis HaMikdash, because Hashem doesn't want that. He doesn't want it to come from non-Jews who are going to be helping the Jews. It is going to be us really following Hashem, who's going to be the one to build the third Beis HaMikdash, exclusively by Hashem, and us Jews, Badad, will be alone. No one is going to be with us. We are going to be the ones that Hashem is going to lift up. Then we have the statement that the Beis HaMikdash will not, Ben David, Mashiach, will not come until the Malchus HaRishah, until Esav, until Edom, will spread over the entire world for 9 months. Now, the country of Rome did control most of the known world. Did they control the entire known world? It seems there were pockets of places they didn't quite conquer. We know the Gemara tells us that Gimel Molchu B'Kippa. There are three kings that ruled over the entire known world. Kippa meaning Kippa, like a dome. They ruled over the entire known world. That's what it means. So there's three kings, and they are Nebuchadnezzar, Achav, and Achashverosh. That they ruled over the entire known world. The Gemara adds there is a fourth one, which is Shlomo HaMelech, but the reason why he's not included is either because he not only ruled over this world, he also ruled over the Shadim, the demons. He ruled over the non-human world as well. That he had control over that as well. The other three didn't have that. Or because Shlomo Melech, according to one opinion, did not finish his reign, that he was deposed by the king of the Shadim, actually, before the end of his reign. We actually talked about that in a different shir. So, when it says that they ruled over the entire known world, it does not mean that they annexed the entire world to their country. It's not that Babel annexed India and it became part of Babel, or Babel annexed France and it became part of Babel. It means that Nebuchadnezzar had, for all intents and purposes, had control over the whole world. The way the Gemara proves that Achav ruled over the whole world is that when he was searching for Eliyahu HaNavi, he was able to make every single king in the entire world swear to him that they did not know where Eliyahu HaNavi was. Now, you can't make a king of another country swear to you unless that king is subservient to you and scared of you. And that's what it means. Achav was in control. They were afraid of him. He was able to order them around. So to Nebuchadnezzar, so to Achashverosh. They had shlita, they had power over the entire known world. Did the Romans in their day have power over the entire known world? I don't know the answer to that because you don't determine this by drawing political boundaries. So the maps that they show in the history books of how far the Roman Empire extended doesn't prove one way or another. It has to do with control, not with where you draw a political boundary. So I don't know the answer to that question. If Rome did have control over the entire known world, it should have been mentioned in the Gemara, because that would have happened prior to the writing of the Gemara. The Gemara was actually completed around the year 500, which would have been already after the time that Rome had reached its apex in power. I believe that is already after Rome's greatest extent of power. So if that were true, it should have been mentioned somewhere. So it seems that the Gemara does not consider Rome under any of its various rulers to have been in control of the entire known world. Not as much in control as Nebuchadnezzar, Achav, or Achashverosh. So the Gemara here is saying that Ben David, that's David HaMelech, will not come, Mashiach will not come until Rome is in control of the whole world for 9 months. So when will that be? I don't know. And why does it have to happen? Because the Pasuk says, Yoleda Yolada. It has to do with giving birth. So evidently, the birth pangs of Mashiach, those Chevle Yoleda, are going to involve Rome, or the heirs of Rome, wherever that is, being in control of the whole world. And that would be a problem. It's going to cause issues. That's not going to be a pleasant experience, the Gemara is saying. And then Ben David will arrive, and that'll be the end. Rome will be destroyed. Rome is Edom. Rome is Esav. It'll be the final attempt of Esav to be in control of the world. It'll be his last ditch effort to control the world. And he will have some success for 9 months. And during those 9 months will be the gestation period where Mashiach's birth will be created. In that environment, that's where Mashiach will be born, will be created, will come forth. Now, we don't know who is Rome today. We don't know what that means. And remember, it doesn't mean to conquer and annex the country. It means to be in control of the world. It means that people have to stand up and say, aye, aye, sir, when whoever's the king says, gives orders. That's what it means. So, we don't know. I guess in theory we should know if it happens. It's currently not it does not seem to be happening now. Doesn't seem that way. Seems to be many countries that have autonomy. Doesn't seem like there's one king or one leader that has full control of the whole world. But the Gemara seems to be saying that that is one of the things that has to happen before Mashiach comes. Now, there are many Gemaras that say, Ein ben David ba'ad. Mashiach will not come until X, Y, and Z. There are many other Gemaras that are similar to this one. You've probably heard the statement, Dar shekulo zakai, dar shekulo chayev. It has to be a generation that's either completely meritorious or completely liable. You know, that kind of thing. There's other Gemaras, achetichla pruta min akis, until there's no longer any money in the purse. There are other achetichla neshama shebegif, until all the souls are born into the world. There are many other statements besides this one. Do they all need to come true? The Gemaras seem to say them unequivocally, so it seems like they all have to come true. It's hard to imagine how they all come true, but of course, we're not Hashem, so we don't have to figure it out. That's not our problem. But it is theoretically possible that they don't all have to come true, or at least they don't have to come true in the way that they appear to be said in the Gemara. So then I have no idea. I do know that once it all happens, we'll be able to look back at all of the Gemaras and understand what was being said. So this is just information, but it is not anything we can do something about right now. Yeah.
Will the War of Magog happen during this 9 months period?
It's a good question. It seems when we learned that Gog and Magog occurs after the Jews already back in Eretz Yisrael under Mashiach, at least Mashiach ben Yosef, whatever that means. So we don't really know. Right? But it could be that that's part of this. Could be.
Do you think this is literally 9 months it's talking about? I mean, I just said.
Maybe not. Maybe it's allegorical. I don't know.
Does the more identify the ideology of these Iran? And I was wondering where Iraq comes in.
No. Doesn't it? No. No discussion in the Gemara about the ideology.
Many have said, including Rabbi Tzinyamis, when she was alive, that we are now in the Ikli Yimei HaMashiach.
Yeah, that's been said for a long time, though.
It's been said for a long
time. Yeah.
Why not? I mean, isn't that like in that picture over there, in that room, the wall?
Yeah.
1,000 years is the Ikli Yimei HaMashiach.
Yeah, so then what does it mean? So then if you say it's 1,000 years, so it doesn't have any relevance. Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, people when the people say Tzikus of the Mashiach, they're trying to get across the idea that Mashiach is like right around the corner. But people have been saying that for 50 years. So, they got to, I don't know what that means.
When you were describing like Achashverosh and Ruach HaNetzach, it sounds like they're like superpowers.
Yeah.
So you don't consider like America a superpower?
It could be, but I'm not going to speculate because...
It doesn't matter.
Right.
But, and why is it that we associate or we think that the Goyim in America... America is Roman.
Only because the Rome represented the West, as it disintegrated, it was
West from Eretz Yisrael.
West versus East. Now is Russia representing an Eastern power or the Far East? That's the way the world talks about it. So you know the Greek and Roman cultures, they associate with Western man, whatever that means. Could be they're wrong. Could be it's Russia. I don't know. I have no idea. But, okay. Now, what is this seven shepherds and eight nesichei adam, eight princes of man? Now this one, it's a great Gemara, but it's not one it's going to be easy to understand.
Are the seven shepherds the brothers of David HaMelech, including David?
No. But you'll hear in just a moment. David is included, but not the brothers. So, but it's a good guess, though. The Gemara says, this is a Gemara in Sukkah, Nun Beis and Beis 52b. Man ninhu shiva roim. Who are the seven shepherds? Drum roll, please. David be'emza. David is in the middle. Adam, Shais, Umisu Shelach, Mimino. Adam, Shais, and Misu Shelach to his right. Avraham, hey, you think we're going to say Yitzchak and Yaakov. Mm-hmm. Avraham, Yaakov, Umoshe, Bismolo. Avraham, Yaakov, Moshe on his left. Everybody asks, what happened to Yitzchak? Okay, we'll get to that. Those are the seven shepherds. Uman ninu shmona nesichei adam. Who are the eight princes of man? So the first list, we're going to try to explain. This one is going to be almost impossible to explain. They are Yishai, that's David's father.
Right.
Shaul. Shmuel. Amos. Sefanya. We haven't learned Sefanya yet. Now here you have two opinions. That would be the next one. The Gemara says Tzidkiah. Tzidkiah would be the last king of Bnei Israel. Others say it's Chizkiah. Chizkiah. That's six. Umashiach. Ve'eliyahu.
Oh, wow. Ve'eliyahu come before Mashiach.
Yeah, some reverse that were Eliyahu and Mashiach. Those are the eight. These 15, it says here, are going to trample and destroy our enemies and give us peace. So what is this? How do we understand? So let's take the seven, because the seven at least we can give some explanation to. So you have David in the middle. You have Adam Shes Mishuselach to his right. And you have Avram, Yaakov, and Moshe to his left. So, Adam, Shais, Misu, Shelach would be the three tzaddikim who lived prior to the Mabul. Noach also lived prior to the Mabul, so did Shem, but they lived through the Mabul. These three died prior to the Mabul. Adam, he did an Aver, of course, but he was a tzaddik. Shais, and Misu Shelach HaTzadik, he was a Tzadik Gomor. Misu Shelach was a complete Tzadik. Those are the three shepherds. So a shepherd is someone who leads the people, who nurtures the people, and these seven people are those who nurture and shepherd us. So it's David. And then the three on the right are Adam, Shais, Misu, Shelach. Now, if they come before the Mabul and before Noach, they really are ancestors of the whole world. Mm-hmm. They're the direct line from Adam to Noach, Adam, Shais, Enosh, etc., down to Noach, goes through Misu, Shelach. That's the line. So these would be the three that represent the entire world, not just us. And then the next three on his left, Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe. Now if we would have said Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it would have been very simple. We would have said it's those who brought into being the Bnei Yisrael. So they represent us. But Yitzchak is missing, and we have Moshe instead. Moshe fits, because Moshe gave us the Torah, and Moshe is the first real leader of the Jewish people, and so it makes sense that he's there. But where is Yitzchak? Says the Medrash, Yitzchak is at the entrance of Gehenim to save the Jews from going into Gehenim, to bring his children, prevent them from going into Gehenim and bring them out. That's what it says about Yitzchak. So Yitzchak is not in this list because rather than trampling our enemies, he's saving us. these seven, and really these 15, are destroying our enemies, while Yitzchak is saving us from Gehenna. Yeah.
But the three to the left seem to be appropriate, because Abraham was the one who would announce the Kadosh Baruch Hu to the world. Yaakov would get the Shvatim from Yaakov, and Moshe would get the Torah.
It's true.
And must take away from the Kadosh Baruch
Hu. Mm-hmm.
So they had their place. So they...
Now, some of them, Farshim, point out that many of these people we know of as actual shepherds.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
David.
And we don't know about Yitzchak as a shepherd, do we?
Right, we don't know Yitzchak as a shepherd. David, Yaakov, and Moshe are all known to be shepherds. Avram is not known to be a shepherd. He had shepherds, but so did Yitzchak. He had shepherds too. So that's not an easy, that's not an easy thing. One of the Farshim says, I believe I saw this in the Aruch HaNer, that Shais is also associated with the shepherd. Because when Shais is born, Chava says, Kishasli Elohim Zera Acher, that Hashem gave me another child, Tachas Hevel, in place of Hevel. Because Hevel was killed. And Hevel was a Roei Tzon. He was a shepherd.
Oh, okay.
So Shais is replacing a shepherd.
We
don't know if himself being a shepherd. Doesn't say anything.
It's interesting because they're really going to come back. Like when you think about Yitzchak and Gehenim, that's not talking about this world, and the other thing is talking about this world.
Right, that's right, that's right. So what does that mean? It's hard to understand what that means, right? If we're going to understand it more broadly, it may mean that rather than fighting with our enemies, Yitzchak is going to be going around helping Jews to connect to Hashem.
Well,
these
we'll give them out of the hand.
Right. Right. So that would be, that is a possibility. Now the eight princes of man, I'll list them again. I don't have a good explanation. I did not see anybody. Rashi himself says over here, he does not, lo yadati bohem tam. I don't have a reason for them. He's talking about both, the seven shepherds and the eight princes. So if Rashi doesn't know, it's difficult for anybody else to know. So,
well, the eight princes lost them in advance.
So, yeah, so the eight princes are they're big people, not Shlomo. He's not on the list.
Shaul and Shmuel.
Yeah, well, Yishai. Now, Yishai is one of the four people who never did an Avera.
Yeah,
he only died Be'itzel Shal Noachash.
And Mishushalach also?
He's not listed as one of the four. The four that are listed as who never did an Avera are Yishai, the father of David, and Amram, the father of Moshe, and Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, and Kilov, or Daniel, same, his two names, the son of David. David, one of his sons, his name is Kilov.
Like father.
Huh?
Kaf Lamed.
Kaf Lamed, Alphaz, yeah. Yeah. The Gemara says, yeah. So, and he has, his other name is Daniel. It's not the same person as the Daniel. The Sefer there. So, those are the four who never did an Avera. So, Yishai is one of them. Shaul, first king, big tzaddik. Shmuel, he brought about both kings. She brought about Shaul and David. Now then, Amos, why is he singled out over all the other Nevi'im? Zephaniah. And then, one of them, those two are Nevi'im. And then, If the Gemara says Tzidkiah, so he's the last of the kings, so he would be the bridge from him to Mashiach, even though Mashiach is not a descendant of Tzidkiah. He's a descendant of Tzidkiah's nephew, Yechaniah. So
is that the same line? It's not the same line.
No, it is the same line, but the way it worked was that Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who was a tzaddik, when he was killed, so first his oldest son took over first. Which way does it go? He had three sons. So one son took over and was killed. Then his next son, Yehoyakim, took over. Then when Yehoyakim was killed, his son, Yoshio's grandson, Yechaniah, took over for a very short time. Then Yechaniah was taken into Galus by Nebuchadnezzar. but the Beis Hamikdash was not destroyed. And the Nebuchadnezzar appointed Yechaniah's uncle, Yoshio's third son, Tzidkiyahu, as king. But that line goes through Yechaniah. Yechaniah was a Rasha. Tzidkiyahu was a Tzaddik. But the line still goes through Yechaniah. Yechaniah's son is Zerubbabel, is Nehemiah. And the line goes through him. So, but still, Tzidkiyahu would still be a bridge to Mashiach, because he was the last king, and Mashiach is the next king. So that would still be a bridge. And the last two, of course, Eliyahu and Mashiach, that's obvious that they would be in this list. Eliyahu being the one to herald Mashiach, and of course Mashiach himself. So those eight are the princes of man who will apparently have a hand in leading the Jewish people. Mashiach is going to be the king, and the other seven are going to have some involvement in leading the Jewish people in the future, and also helping in destroying the enemies of the Jews.
It's interesting, like Yishai, not David.
Right. Well, David's in the first list. It seems like there's no overlap over here. So that didn't bother me. And Shaul being the first king, Shmuel, you know, it just Amos, Zephaniah, why them? I don't know the answer.
Not Shlomo.
Not Shlomo's not on the list. And you don't have other of the great, Yosam was a big tzaddik. You have other great people who are not on the list. So, where's Aaron HaKohen? Right? There's other big people who are not on the list. So, I don't know why.
And Yosef.
Right. Mm. Right. Right. Right.
Because you said Mashiach, but Yosef maybe.
Right. Okay. But that is, this pasuk over here, that's where it's coming from.
Also, when you were reading it, and you said that Asher is going to come in our land, but then the next pasuk says we're going to go in Asher's land.
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to defeat them from our land and then go there and destroy them there. That's what it seems. That's what it seems.
That Asher is not existent really anymore either. So, I mean, is that like...
Not by the name, Asher. But... They may still have some, who knows? Or they may represent something. So that brings us to Pasuk Vav, verse 6. And this Pasuk begins one of the Haftorahs. The Haftorah from Parshas Balak starts with Micha Perikei Pasuk Vav, chapter 5, verse 6. And it goes into the next chapter. It goes into Perik Vav. So we'll start it. We'll see how much we get done of it. We may just finish the parak. See how far we get. V'hayashiris Yaakov, and it will be the remnant of the Jewish people, bekerav amim rabim, in the midst of many nations. They will be kitalmeis Hashem. They'll be like dew from Hashem. Kirvivim ali esev, like a steady rain on grass.
As you know.
Right, that's right. Asher lo yikaveh li'ish, that no one hopes to man, v'lo ye'achel livnei adam, and they won't hope to man. That means that the Yaakov, the remnant of Yaakov, in the midst of all the other nations, will be looking to Hashem, not to other nations, for help. Tal, which is due, is something that comes always. It's always around. No one has to ask someone for the dew. The dew comes every day. And it is constant. So we are going to be like dew, that we're going to be, we're going to be around. Although, you know, we'll be here. And that, we are not going to need help from other people. We're going to just be from Hashem, just like the dew is from Hashem. No need for help from man. Same theme as before, that we will be alone and have no need for the nations of the world to help us. V'alyan sheris Yaakov b'agoyim, and the remnant of the Jews amongst the nations will be bekerav amim rabim, in the midst of many nations. Ki'aryei b'vahamos yar, like a lion in amongst the animals of the forest. Kichfir be'edreitzon, like again a lion in the corral of the sheep. You know what that means, when a lion's in the corral of the sheep. Asher imavar v'ramas v'taraf, that if the lion passes by and tramples and rips apart, vein matzil, no one will save from the lion. The lion gets into the sheep, then it's all over. So, and then in those days, Sheiris Yaakov, the remnant of Yaakov, will be like a lion. No one will be able to stop Yaakov. No one will be able to defeat, nor control, nor in any way stop Yaakov from doing what he, from whatever destruction needs to take place. Tarom Yadchal Tzarecha, lift your hand against your enemies. V'cholay Vecha Yikaresu, and all of your enemies will be cut off. And it will be on that day, says Hashem, V'ichrati susecha mikir becha, I will cut off or destroy your horses from your midst. Chazal say, Rashi brings it, this means that you will not need horses anymore. Horses come from Mitzrayim. You're not going to need horses. You will not need to get weapons from other countries. You're not going to have weapons coming from the United States or elsewhere. You will be self-sufficient. You'll have your own protection. V'havarati markevosecha, I will destroy your chariots. You'll have no need for chariots either. V'ichrati arei artzecha, I will destroy the cities of your land. As Rashi explains, this means you're not going to need fortified cities. You're not going to need walls. You're not going to need an iron dome. You're not going to need any of this stuff. You'll be protected without any of these things. You'll be completely protected without any weaponry. V'harasti kol mivtzarecha, again, I'll tear down all of your fortifications. They won't be needed. V'ichrati cheshafim miyadecha, I will destroy witchcraft from your hands. Uma'onanim lo yulach, and sorcerers you will not have. Same idea, that witchcraft, sorcery is a form of, it's a type of technology, not technology in the way we know it today, but it's some form of power that people do have access to. It is a tamei form of power, but it is a form of power. You won't need it. You will be fine.
It's an avera, no?
Yes.
So yeah. You're moving that yitzhara?
Could be. It could be. Some say it's an avera even for non-Jews. It's machlokas in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. V'ichrati fesilecha umatzevosecha mikirbecha, I will cut off your idols.
Removing another
yitzhar. Yeah, yeah. And your icons from your midst. You will no longer bow to the work of your hands. You won't have gaiva, you won't have arrogance, you won't say kochi v'otzem yadi, you won't say it comes from me, it comes from Hashem. V'nasashti asherecha mikirbecha, I will also destroy your asherah. Asherah is a tree that's worshipped. I'll cut those down as well. V'yishmarati arecha, and I will destroy. Now here, arecha, the word ir means city. So arecha could mean your cities, but that was already said before. Therefore, the Targum here says, and Rashi brings it, this means those who would destroy you. Ar means to destroy, like aru aru means to destroy. Those who would destroy you, I will destroy. V'yasisi ba'af uvecheiman akam esagoyim, and I will do with anger the vengeance against the Goyim, against the non-Jews, Ashelo Shameu, that they did not listen. So there will be, you will be protected, the non-Jews who do not listen, they will be destroyed. We'll go a little further, starting the next parak, parak Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Shimuna Es Asher Hashem Omer, listen now to that which Hashem says. Kum Rives Heharim, get up and literally means to fight with the mountains. V'sishmana ha'givaos kolecha, and let the hills hear your voice. I'm having second thoughts about actually doing this now because it means we're going to rush through it. But I'll just mention what this means: the mountains and valley, and not valleys, mountains and hills are always a reference to the avos and the imahos, the patriarchs and matriarchs. The harim refer to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The givaos refer to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. When it says riv es haharim, it means to, it doesn't mean to fight with them, it means to discuss the fight which he's about to discuss in the next pasuk, which is going to be a vikuach, it's going to be a debate that Hashem is going to, he's going to speak both sides of the debate between Hashem and the Jewish people. So we'll see that Mirtz Hashem next time. We'll start again from the beginning of Perek Vav, from Pasuk Aleph next time, and we'll complete this Haftorah, which goes till, it goes through Pasuk Ches. Yeah, that's why it's here for Balak. Yeah. Right? We'll talk about that next time. And then also the very famous Pasuk at the end of in Perek Ches, Pasuk Ches, I mean, V'atznei Alech Hasim Alokecha, that's the very famous Pasuk. So next week, Mitzvah, we'll do Perek Vav, which will include finishing this Haftarah, and we'll hopefully finish the entire Perek.
It also read another time.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.